Titus chapter 2, beginning with verse 11, will serve as our sermon text. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. It trains us to reject ungodliness and worldly lusts, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, that is, the glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us, to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people who are his own chosen people, eager to do good works. This is the word of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the sevenfold Spirit before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. In December of 2016, just 3 years ago, a woman in Melbourne, Australia, came home on December 19th, leading up to Christmas, and something appeared to her. She looked at her Christmas tree and she realized that it seemed to be slithering. That's right, there was a 3-foot tiger snake in her Christmas tree at home. Apparently it's renowned for its ability to climb up into trees, and it's the 6th most poisonous snake in the world. I suppose, is it any wonder to us to hear a story like that out of Australia, where it seems like the whole country was designed to kill people, with all the different animals and insects and all kinds of things? Of course, that's not true. But the snake in the tree was true, and she had to call animal control, and they got the snake out of the tree. But I wonder, how many of your trees have snakes slithering in them? I'm not just talking about your physical Christmas tree at home, but I'm thinking about the kinds of things that lurk in Christmas, like underneath the surface. We love the concrete things. We love the baby. We love the manger. We love the tree. We love the gifts. But underneath it all, to a sinful heart, there lies greed. There lies lust and impurities. There lies family frustrations and maybe people who don't get along. And interestingly enough, it all goes back to the original snake, the devil who took on the form of a serpent in a tree where he really wasn't supposed to be. But that brought sin into the world. Something sad and frustrating, something that really meant a result in death in a place where it wasn't supposed to be, this perfect garden. So what's slithering in your tree this year on Christmas? What lies beneath the heart? What has the devil brought to surface in your family, in your relationships? Well, the good news is that when sin appeared and really made itself manifest in our lives by the work of our hands and by the words that we spoke to one another, by the thoughts that we think, guess what also appeared? St. Paul tells Titus in chapter 2 of his personal letter to him that we all get to look in and read, that the grace of God has appeared to all men. When there was a problem, God had a solution. And it's difficult to read this in context and not really think of how grace truly appeared in the form of Jesus Christ, a lowly baby born of a humble virgin. It leads us to the heights. It shows us the forces that are at work behind the concrete things, the things we touch and feel at Christmas. And it really unfolds God's plan of salvation. It tells us God's gift of grace. We see the what of grace, the how of grace, and the why of grace. Why then, why now, and why soon? So what is grace? Grace isn't a tidy thought all on its own. Grace doesn't exist apart from God. There isn't some reservoir of grace loaded up somewhere in heaven, independent of the Creator who has grace. Grace is something very special because it's the love of God at work. Ceaselessly, sympathetically, wisely, purposely for sinners, for the unloving and the unloved, for people who needed love, an undeserving sinful humankind, God is love. Higher than the heavens, deeper than the seas, wider than space, God's love reclaims, remakes, and reshapes sinners. That's what it does. This love is grace. Love for the unlovely and the unloving. So God stooped to save the fallen, those who would hurt one another, those who would separate themselves from a truly loving God, right in the very beginning and ever since. That's God's gift of grace. How has it appeared? Well, that's the miraculous part about Christmas, is that grace has localized itself in one place, in one person. Undefiled, this grace became a human being. It was true God, but also true man. He wrapped himself in the form of a servant, the kind of shape that God never should have taken. The God who was transcendent and far beyond our thoughts and ideas of who he could possibly be, morally better than we could ever imagine or ever compare ourselves to. The miracle of Christmas is that God has brought himself to this confined human body with little eyes, little ears, and little fingers, just to be like one of us, just to be for us, just to crawl and walk and stand and then be humbled and pushed down and brought to punishment just for us. That's what this grace did and how it made itself into a human being. This was serious business, not a pleasure jaunt. You see, in our text, we're told why Jesus came. He came bringing salvation to all people, in verse 11. And then it says in verse 14, he came to redeem us. You see how God, the eternal God, came to show us his heart. He came to reach out to each of our hearts and bless us. That's God's gift of grace. When? Well, at that first Christmas, but also for now. God's gift of grace for now has an educational effect on our hearts. Think about this. When something good happens to us, do we take away something? Have we learned something? When someone does something suddenly, kindly, generously on our behalf, does that cause us to change the way we think a little bit about the world around us? Maybe a lot. Does it change the way we think about other people? Does it change the way we think about the world? Maybe even the smallest kind gesture points out to us how wonderful and how beautiful people can be to us. How much more when God himself comes down to sweep away our worst problems, comes to be like one of us, to save us from our sins, from our wrongdoings, from the ensuing guilt that comes when we've hurt somebody else, and when we've struck away our relationship with God by sin. Doesn't that change the way you think? Doesn't that change the way you act, the way you behave? Doesn't that renew your heart? And it's not just new information in your mind, like how should I live my life? I think I have a new plan of how to live. But it really changes our heart, because it's exchanged our record of sins with Jesus Christ's perfection. It makes us appear as if we were the sons of God. When that grace of God appeared to all humankind, it doesn't matter who you are, if you have flesh and blood, if you can pinch yourself and feel yourself, if you know that you have a soul, then guess what? This grace has appeared for you. That's what this grace was for. And because we know the heart of God, we know that God's heart will never be satisfied with giving enough to people who need from Him, because that's what makes Him good. That's what makes Him better than anything. Grace, for us, is a teacher. It teaches us to reject ungodliness. Some other translations say it teaches us to say no, to literally say no when temptations arise. When we feel the urge to blast our neighbor, to drag their name through the mud, when we feel the urge to maybe hate, maybe even bring that hate to a physical altercation, when we feel rage inside of us for what's happening in the world, or what's happening in politics, or what's happening in our families, or what's happening in our marriage, grace teaches us it's time to say no. I'm not going to let those feelings dominate my heart, because I have a Savior who has won my heart and who's given me a new heart. Grace is a teacher. But God's grace prepares us for something even greater. Now, it might have been worthwhile for God to send His Son, maybe to clean up some filth, maybe to rectify some social injustice. It might have been worth it for God to make this world a little bit neater, a little bit more clean. It might have been worth it if it meant that someday America would have just the quintessential, most Christian president, or the most right-thinking Congress, the most moral leaders. It might have been worth it if it just made us behave nicely toward one another as a family. But we can say without a doubt that God's grace appeared for much more than that, to force us to look beyond this eon of time to the new heavens and the new earth. He came once lowly in swaddling clothes. He's going to come again with a throne and a scepter. He's going to come for you to redeem you and bring you into His kingdom out of this world of sin once for all, to give you new good works to do forever. Only those who worshiped at the manger, and who bowed at the cross, and who trustingly followed Him along the way will hear that call at the end. Brothers and sisters, put your faith not in works, not in what grace teaches us to do. That's important. But put your faith in the grace of God alone that exists apart from all the mighty and wonderful things we could possibly do for one another. Jesus did it better. Jesus did it best. Because Jesus came and appeared as God's grace in human form. Now, let's not kid ourselves. Every day isn't going to be like Christmas. Every day isn't going to bring us this kind of joy. We're not going to be singing these carols every day. There are going to be days of weariness in the future, should Jesus not come right away. There's going to be darkness from temptations. We're going to stumble with our faint, sinful hearts. But with God's grace there, we're not going to need more courage or more strength. We have this Christmas peace and joy from now into eternity. So human, and yet so divine. So plain, and yet so cosmic. So subtle, and yet so sublime. So marked by poverty, and yet so rich. I'm not sure. Will you go home and check your tree for snakes? Will you sweep your house clean of every pest? Will you search your heart and chase away sin, because now you know this grace so well, the grace that began in Christmas and that went to the cross and that opened the tomb of death to each of us by faith alone? Just as the Son of God appeared to reject that first snake, may you embrace all He has to give you this Christmas day. Grace that appeared for all mankind. Amen.